Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, do you prefer North Carolina, Tennessee, or Kansas City style barbecue sauce?
Well, you know, Patrick, Memphis seems to work the best with spaghetti. Patrick, yesterday we talked with Andrew Marlin and Emily France from Mandolin Orange.
Yep, sure did.
And we're going to do that again today.
I know,
so it's great. We got such great stuff out of this interview. This is going to be presented over the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
Mandolin Orange, if people aren't familiar, is a group out of North Carolina, yeah. And they play very traditional acoustic roots music in a way that is really, I think, capturing a lot of people's attention. It's really compelling stuff. And the latest album is called Tides of a Teardrop. Mm-hmm. It's on the Yep Rock label. And the thing I want to say about Tides of a Teardrop, which I have really enjoyed, I have now have a vinyl copy of
fantastic.
It. It came with a bonus disc.
Oh, great.
As they talk about somewhere in this interview.
Mm-hmm.
The album really is written around the theme of loss and grief.
Right.
And it's Andrew writing about the death of his mother when he was 18, which was, I think he said 14 years ago,
that's right.
I think that's what he says here. So it's a really kind of an interesting perspective, one you don't hear a lot. A lot of times when people are writing about stuff like this, it's usually, you know, fairly recent after it happened.
That's
and for
right.
somebody to sort of reflect back and process those emotions later on in life, you hear a certain growth, I think, that has taken place in this person. And, you know, listen to the record. You'll get a sense of it. Right.
And I think, you know, the juxtaposition of the fact that he was becoming a parent and reconciling the loss of his mother is really interesting in this, too. And obviously, it's kind of heartwarming in one sense to hear how it healed him up, you know, a wound that was obviously open for a long time.
Right. So our show is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And here is part two of our interview with Andrew and Emily from Mandolin Orange.
When it's closing time in late September, and the streetlights search for shadows on my mind, when the bars all holler last call, and the moon's on her descent, I stagger towards the morning, a new day to begin. Counting down to closing time.
So you're writing a lot about the loss of your mother, and it was when you were 18, is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
So how long ago was that?
Going on 14 years ago.
Okay, so did it just take this long to sort of process all of that and decide this was the right time to get those emotions out, or what was your feeling there?
Yeah, I think it did take this much time because there's a lot of, not really denial, because I mean there's no denying that someone's passed on, you know, but I do think the effects of that can kind of hide themselves and then come out in very destructive ways. And for me, I was really starting to develop a fatalistic view of life, and just if there was something that was going to happen, there was always a possibility it would go wrong, and that's what I would focus on. And I think Emily was really good about calling me out on that and helping me stay focused on the positive things in life and how, you know, great things can actually happen too. And I guess it was September of 2016, I think it was the first, when I wrote the first song for this record, which is called Late September, because Mom passed in early October. And I was noticing a pattern every year that time of year when, you know, the fall would start setting in, I would just revert back to this super lonely feeling, even though I was surrounded by friends, surrounded by people that love me. And I wanted to just shed those feelings. And I guess for me, writing has always been part of the healing process and part of how I deal with emotions, because I'm not one to really talk about it, unlike right now on this podcast. So I think with writing that song, when I got to the end of it, I felt so light and so great just getting those feelings into lyrics that I could then sing. I decided to keep going with it and keep writing songs about it.
And how did you feel when you got all these songs written and recorded and the whole project done, did you feel differently somehow than before you started the whole thing?
Yeah, I did feel differently. Also, with that came the knowledge that we're going to have a kid. So there was a lot of changing going on right towards the end of that album, and I feel a lot lighter, and I feel great. I've got a much more positive outlook on life and a much more goofy outlook on life because I talk to a kid all day every day.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. But then you relive the songs every night on stage, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that feel like to do that?
Well, you should probably answer that.
I guess I probably should answer that. I was going to give Emily some space there, but it feels great. It's been such a healing process that now to sing these songs, I don't really have to relive the moments anymore. Now it's more just like, I feel like I'm really connecting with the people that are coming to see us play. And when I look out and I see folks listening to every lyric, I think, you know, I'm not alone in losing somebody, and I'm not alone in just like trying to find your place in life and deal with loss. So it's nice to share these tunes and feel like we've got a platform that people trust us to play these kind of songs.
I was thinking about something I heard you say before about that, how I think in years past you didn't feel like it was, you know, having lost a parent, that it was special enough to write about. Huh. And I think that's been something that has been so nice about sharing these songs, is that it is such a universal
right.
Life experience, and so many people have to experience that pain. And so singing them doesn't necessarily feel sad, because there's just such a connection there with the audience. It's been really rewarding, I hope, for them and us too.
Yeah, I commend you for making that, you know, brave decision, and sounds like a great way to heal. But also it's like the universal dichotomy, like you were talking about. I mean, a lot of people get into playing music because they don't feel articulate, but they can't articulate themselves through songs. And then if those songs are successful, you have, you know, idiots like us asking you questions to explain it in words instead of like standing up on stage. So, I mean, I also commend you. Obviously, been, you know, doing preparation and stuff, but obviously you've been asked about it a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's got to be, what has that experience been like, you know, talking about it, you know, kind of, you know, answering these questions about the themes, which are so prevalent?
Again, I mean, I think it's all, I'm not one to ever go to, I haven't been to therapy, so I guess this is like each time this happens, it's almost like a little therapy session.
That's
so,
right. We got the couch right here.
Yeah. We got a couch. Right. Yeah. You can just send me a bill, I guess.
We can do that.
Yeah. I don't know if my insurance will cover you guys. But.
So the song Golden Embers, of course, got a lot of attention, and that was written like to your father about this experience, mm-hmm. right? And the thing I thought was interesting I read that you said that you were surprised, I guess, in some way that grief pushed people apart rather than brought them together.
Just like an old friend, kinder than expected, that Cadillac came and gave our girl a ride. Loss has no end, it binds to our connection. We don't speak of it, we don't even try. If you could help me to share the trouble that you've got burning in you, then you can help me and end our time together. Her memory will ever shine like golden embers in the night.
What is your father's reaction to this song?
That, you know, my dad's a mysterious man.
A man of few words.
Very few words. So, I do think he's gotten a lot of joy out of listening to these songs and kind of opening up the floor to just tell him, like, you know, in my household, we were never ones to be just like, hey, I don't feel very good in my head right now. Like, help me out. You know, right. We just weren't a very vocal family. And I think for him, it's opened up the floor for him to talk about happy memories of my mom and like remind me of things that they did when they were younger and when they were coming up. And it's great for me to hear those stories. And I think it's good for him too, to remember that and to remember the good things about her when she was alive, instead of just always carrying around this memory of her death. So, yeah, I think these songs have actually opened up, you know, a lot more conversation about her than we were letting happen in the past.
Right. And does he live in the Chapel Hill area there?
He lives in Warrenton, North Carolina. Okay. So it's about an hour and a half northeast of there.
Mm-hmm. And what does he do?
He was a U.S. history teacher.
Is it really?
For about 38 years. He's retired now.
That's pretty cool. Talk about a thankless job, man. Yeah. Now, I got to ask you guys, definitely shifting gears. I got to ask you about barbecue in the Chapel Hill area.
My daughter
goes to the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and she plays soccer there. But she toured around a bunch of different colleges. She wasn't quite at the UNC Duke level, but there was a bunch around there. And we went to a place called the Q Shack. Have you guys ever been there?
Yeah. There's a weekly bluegrass jam there, actually.
Is there really?
Oh,
my God, Jim.
Yeah.
That's the perfect thing for me. Yeah, the hush puppies and the barbecue at that place and bluegrass. That's amazing. But do you guys eat barbecue? And do you have a favorite spot? I asked, not for our listeners, but totally for myself, which you can obviously tell. This podcast is about me.
Well, I mean, honestly, my Uncle Dean, to me, has the best barbecue, but you can't just go to his house. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
Good. But
what does he do that's good? Like a pulled pork?
I don't know what he does. I mean, he cooks a whole hog, and the way his sauce is just so good, which is basically just apple cider vinegar.
Vinegar sauce in North Carolina, which I've come to appreciate very much.
Too, you got to have that in there.
Right.
There's an old institution that is sadly just closed called Allen & Sons.
Oh, wow.
That has been in the Chapel Hill area forever. They have two locations, and so we're sad to see that.
That's
go.
A bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skipper Forsyth's, which is in Henderson, North Carolina.
In Henderson. Okay. I know where that is. Yep. On my next trip down to Wilmington, I can definitely make a side detour for barbecue. Yep.
You know, it's a funny thing, Jim. Like some of the folks I work with in my current day job, one of them grew up in Memphis, and I asked the same question to this guy. He's younger than I am. Probably, you know, he's probably around the age of Mandolin Orange, and he said, it's my cousin. You know, Timmy, he makes the best barbecue. You know, they wouldn't name like a restaurant. It's like somebody that cooks it at home. So, I love that. Uncle Dean is really the best barbecue, you know, in
That's
town.
Right.
But I do got to check out Skipper Forsyth's in Henderson. There's no doubt I will do that next time I'm down there.
All right. Well, let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
And then also, we are going to talk more with Mandolin Orange tomorrow, right? That'll be the conclusion of the three parts of this interview.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to want to listen.
Every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, please correspond with us. Either via email, rock@suburbspod.com, or phone message, 612-440-1984. You can leave a message. We'll put your voice on an upcoming episode, or on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com.
Yeah.
And then also, we mentioned this yesterday. This is something we have just launched. There is a way to support the show financially, which we could use to keep it going.
Yeah, it helps.
Been doing it for a while, and this will allow us to keep it going and keep doing fun stuff. And
we have a large tab we need to close at a certain establishment.
Yeah, so the way you can support the show, and you're going to get a little something extra too. You're going to see on this webpage, you know, what comes with each different level of support.
Yeah.
But you go to Patreon, Patreon, patreon.com/suburbspod, and there you can make your financial donation. And they can just... They'll do it so that they just charge your card like monthly. So yeah, it's not easy. A lot of money.
No, it's not
a lot of money.
Yeah, it's you know,
less than you would spend on a record
or a cup of coffee, probably in many cases. Yeah. So yeah, think about that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get out of here. Let's get to part three.
Cool.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
It's when it's closing time in late September. It's hard to hide how much I miss her so. As the tenderness of memory unfolds itself within me with such gravity unyielding in the land of the living, counting down to closing time.
And where is Henderson again?
Boy, you got me on that. I don't know exactly.
Is it anywhere near where you travel through North Carolina?
Oh, it will be next time.